Our text then for this morning is found in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. You remember, I'm sure, that Jesus spoke several parables concerning prayer. One of the parables that he gave concerned an unjust judge and a poor widow woman. Widow woman who felt aggrieved and unjustly dealt with and came for justice to the local judge, and in his eyes he counted for nothing, no gain that he would reap through being helpful to her, no prestige, no fame, and couldn't be bothered to listen to her. But she didn't give up. And she kept coming back, asking for justice. You remember that the judge eventually got fed up, tired of her pestering, and simply because she kept coming back and asking, she listened to her and gave justice to her case, and she went away satisfied. Jesus said, thereby we must learn that a man ought always to pray and never to give up. He taught persistence in prayer. I wonder if the Apostle Paul had that parable in mind when he writes to the Colossians and says to them, devote yourselves to prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Be persistent in your prayer life. Now, whenever any challenge comes to us as Christians about our prayer life and the effort, the time, the devotion we put into prayer, usually there are pangs of conscience straight away. Well, who of us would believe, would claim that we have an adequate and full and complete prayer life? We are aware, aren't we, all too often of our lack of prayer, of the lack of time and priority we give to prayer, of our lack of faith when we do pray, of our lack of that kind of earnest persistence that we read about of Elijah. But you know, when the Bible comes to us and time again urges us to be people who pray, the Bible isn't doing that to underline our failures in our prayer life. No, if we find God's Word insistently encouraging us to be people of prayer, it's because the Bible, through God's directing and commands to us, wants to encourage us to enjoy a prayer life. That through prayer we might discover the solace, the sweetness, the security, the satisfaction of being in the hands of a holy God and an all-sovereign God. An all-powerful, loving Heavenly Father. And it's in prayer that we get a grip of and experience that awareness of reality, of being in the hands of this loving Heavenly Father who wants to watch over and direct our path. So the Apostle Paul is saying to the Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer. Now, if you have the New International Version of the Scriptures, you will have noticed perhaps from those readings that there's a heading, a suggested title given to this section in Colossians, and it's Rules for Holy Living. And the Apostle Paul is coming now to encourage the Colossian Christians on how to put their faith into practice. Rules for living. And he's telling them how they ought to live out their lives as Christians. Setting their hearts on things above. Putting to death things of the flesh. Then he's going on to rules for family living. Christian households. Wives, husbands, children. Giving you the way and attitude of rules for our attitude to employment and employee, towards our employer, and the employer's attitude towards his workforce. And then he's going on to this verse we find in chapter 4, verse 2, to devote yourselves to prayer. And the heading there again is further instructions. You see, prayer is a very practical outworking of Christian living. As much as Paul is telling the Christian how to live in their home, in their marriage, in their work, and in their daily attitudes, he's saying there's a priority in prayer. He's switching to the prayer life as not something now which is more a spiritual aspect. He's saying this is a practical aspect. It's how we show our prayer, our Christian living, and our faith in our praying. You know, you can't be a Christian without prayer. You can't become a Christian without prayer. Another parable that Jesus told about prayer was about the Pharisee and the publican, or the Pharisee and the tax collector. Two men coming to the temple with the idea of coming to pray. And you remember the parable, won't you? The Pharisee coming to the temple, standing there in the prominent place, in the front, where he could be seen, and where the presence of God was acknowledged, comes to say his prayer, Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men. I do this and I do that. Coming to pray and telling God how good he was, and all the things he did that was religious. And Jesus talks about the other man who came to pray. The tax collector, the publican, the man who was despised, the man who was in a profession that was known for its dishonesty and deceit and its extortion. And we're told he prayed. He went to a quiet corner. Didn't want to be in the prominent place. Couldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He beat upon his breast and prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What was Jesus' comment? Two men prayed. Jesus said, only one prayer was heard. This man, he said, this tax collector, this wretched sinner, went home justified. God met with him. God heard him. God answered. You see, you can't become a Christian without praying with that kind of way. The Pharisee, we're told, prayed with himself. He said his prayers. We didn't pray. Unless we pray that kind of prayer at the outset. Unless we come to God in that way, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We can't become Christians at all. Remember what the Bible tells us? He that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We have to call for forgiveness, for salvation. We have to acknowledge our dependence. We have to claim God's mercy, rely on God's mercy. We have to own that we're sinners. You can't become a Christian without crying out to God in prayer. When the Apostle Paul was first converted, and Ananias was told to go and meet with him, that he might receive his sight back again and pray with him, Ananias was, well, he was afraid. He was doubtful that this man could become a Christian. What did God say to Ananias? Go and find him, because he is praying. Now the Apostle Paul, a Pharisee, a deeply religious man, he'd been saying prayers all his life, deep, devoted prayers of religion. But now God says he's praying. He was saying prayers before. Now he's praying. He's acknowledging me and claiming my son, claiming Jesus as his Savior. He's coming to me in Jesus' name. He's acknowledging his dependence upon my mercy. Now he's praying. Unless we come to God like that, we've not entered into his spirit of prayer. Having learned to pray and wanting to pray, Paul is saying to these Colossians, now devote yourselves. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Make it part and parcel of the priority of your life and daily program to be prayer. Paul gives us an insight, a little glimpse of his own personal practice of prayer in the first chapter of the same epistle, Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. We pray, we always pray for you, he said. We've not stopped praying for you. A little glimpse into this apostle and the priority he put to prayer. Not stop praying for you. We can think back, can't we? The example of Daniel, that prophet who was persecuted for his prayer life. When the king had an order passed, he was trapped into giving an order that nobody should be praying in the whole land except to him. They knew that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. It was a habit, it was part of his daily discipline to have that time aside to pray to God. Now we don't have rules for how often we should be praying like the Muslims do, who have their set hours when they must practice saying their prayers, whatever they are. We don't have those kinds of rules and set times given to us by God through the Bible. But we do have examples. We are encouraged, it is a good thing to have that daily exercise of engaging ourselves in times of prayer to God. We are encouraged to have those times of private, when we go into our rooms, where we shut ourselves in with God and pray. We have the examples of the early church who, we're told, devoted themselves. That's part of their devotion, part of their priorities. Chapter 2, verse of Acts of the Apostles, and verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to public prayer, to the prayer meeting, the prayer times together. It was part of their devotion. Devote yourselves to prayer, says the Apostle Paul. And when he says that, he gives 2 particular reasons why it's vital, it's important that the Christian gives priority to his prayer life. 2 things. Watch yourself. devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Two things why we need to be watchful in prayer. To be watchful, be alert. There are constant dangers, constant temptations, constant pitfalls that await the Christian. And the Apostle Peter urges us, doesn't he? Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around, seeking whom he may devour. Be alert. And that alertness is in prayer, asking God to show us and keep our eyes open to dangers. Temptation and the existence of an enemy to our soul, the devil, should urge us to be devoted in prayer and thankful. Always so much to be grateful for. So much to thank God for. Thanking Him for His Son. Thanking Him for His love and compassion. Thanking Him for our salvation. Thanking Him day by day that we can have sins forgiven. Thanking Him for the hope of glory. Thanking Him for His precious promises. Not to speak of thanking Him for daily bread and homes and warmth, things we enjoy. Gratitude should move us to be regular and devoted in prayer. So as we just look at these aspects, these concerns to be people of prayer, does it perhaps remind us, move us again, that there are some adjustments that we need to make, that there's some repair work that needs to go into our devotional life, that there's some readjustments in the prioritizing of our timetable day by day, because we're not praying as we used to, as we ought to, as we want to. Other things are getting in, and the prayer time is slipping. Devote yourself, put the priority on it. This, says Paul, is practical Christian living. This is how we work out our day by day Christian life, and prayer time is an essential part of the exercise of that daily prayer life. But just notice one thing here too. The particular subject the Apostle urges us to be praying for, he urges the Christian church, he urges Christians to be praying about in their devotions of prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. Put it high upon your priority list. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Now, is the Apostle Paul restricted, limited? He's writing this letter from prison. He can't get out and preach as he would like to. But the priority of prayer subject that he's asking the Colossians to engage themselves in is not pray that the door of the prison might be opened so that I might get out. I might be in this place of suffering and trial. No, to the Apostle Paul, far more important than that, for the people's prayer is for an open door for the preaching of the gospel, for the proclamation of the word of God, for the extension of God's kingdom. That's his burden. He is restricted. But even there, where he is in his prison, he tells us elsewhere, doesn't he, that he's rejoicing at the opportunity he's having of preaching the word of God from his prison cell. to the soldiers that are surrounding him, to those in Caesar's household, the officials of the kingdom who know about his imprisonment and wondering what it's all about, and they're listening and they're hearing something about this Jesus. He wants to use his opportunity where he is, and he does so. But he wants the word of God to spread further. That's his burden, that's his concern. We as Christians and the Church of God have a commission. The Lord Jesus Christ left to go into all the world and preach the gospel. There are restrictions that are put on the Christian Church so that we don't and we can't do just that. There are governments that refuse to allow the preaching of the gospel in their country and restrict any Christians from trying to share the gospel with others. There's legislation, laws that are made to restrict the gospel. There are attitudes among people and Christians about why it might be a good thing to witness to the gospel. There's a fear within Christians' hearts, a fear of offending other people. And so we keep silent about what we believe, about our love of the Lord Jesus. There are restrictions that are imposed, that are fears within. Paul says, Paul, one of the main subjects for your praying should be that God may open a door for the message. God will give opportunity. And thank God we still have opportunity in our country to preach the gospel. But there seems to be generally more of a concern not to offend other faiths and other religions and other people than to preach the truth. We water it down. We keep silent about it. Paul says, Paul, pray for an open door. And notice the second aspect of that. And pray for us too that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Oh, help me, he says, to preach a clear message. Not a confused message, but a clear message. Not a message which combined with political revolution and political liberty. Not a message which combines to preach the brotherhood of man, that all men are brothers and to have their right to live as they are, how they want. Not a message of toleration of all faiths and all ways leads to God. Not a message which confuses humanitarianism and looking after man and making him happy and comfortable. Not a message of judicial reform, of health, wealth and prosperity. Many false cults are preaching these kinds of messages. And the world wonders sometimes as much as the Church of Jesus Christ. What are you saying? What is your basic message? And from our pulpits, it's confusing. Paul says, Paul, will you pray that there might be a clear message? So he's urging the church, urging the Christians to be involved in this kind of prayer, in the devotion of their prayer. Oh, that we might see God breaking in, we might learn what it is and how to lay hold of this God. Remember what the early church did when they were threatened not to proclaim, not to preach the gospel, not to teach the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do? They met together to pray and to plead with God that they might have boldness to preach the gospel. They met together. They purposed to get together, to unite together in prayer. If we're going to be a devoted people of prayer, we will be a people who are devoted in to the prayer meeting. And that prayer meeting will be a concern to share the gospel locally and to help us as Christians to be bold in our personal witness, but also in our prayer for mission and missionaries, that the door might always be open into other nations, that we might be giving a clear message in our Christian witness, and that all our endeavors might be followed up as we show our love in humanitarian concern, but that it might be followed up with the opportunity of a clear message of why we love our fellow man. Devote yourselves to prayer, says the apostle. Oh God, give us that kind of devotion. A renewal, perhaps, to give this priority to our prayer lives, that we might know a fellowship with a God who has these kind of concerns, and that we might know the power of prayer in our daily lives. Devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and active.